is that guy? Why is he here? It's my pleasure to, Senator Roberson, introduced him, but to welcome Wesley Duncan, candidate for Attorney General.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you again. My name is Wes Duncan. I'm running for Attorney General of our state. Now, I gotta tell you, Roberson, Senator Roberson just stole all my thunder with all this great stuff that we're talking about. But look, this election and the choices that we have are so very simple. And I tell the story that last week my son graduated from preschool, and as I was looking out in the audience, looking at, I mean, they go all out for these preschool graduations too. But as he was looking out and he's reciting the preamble of the Constitution, he's singing our Nevada song, and he's got his hand on his heart and doing the Star Spangled Banner. Looking out at all of those kids, you're looking at our future, right? And this election is about our future and where do we go as a state. Do we really want our state to be a sanctuary state? Do we really want to have the high taxes, the high regulations that drove people away from California that are fleeing to other states? We want to remain the most productive, low-tax, low-regulation state that we can, so that entrepreneurs can set up their businesses, so that families can be the greatest place that we're going to live, that will write our next chapter. I tell people, I'm running for Nevada Attorney General. I want to make Nevada the safest place to raise a family. 4-year-old, 3-year-old boys at home. I've got a baby girl on the way in August, and we want to make sure our constitutional rights are protected, that we're working with law enforcement day by day to make sure that we're doing all we can to try to eliminate domestic violence, to eliminate violent crime, to go after people that invade our homes, and all those things. And so there's going to be two just stark contrasts in every single race up and down the ballot. And, you know, this is a get-out-the-vote rally, so I hope I can earn your support. But I hope that what you'll do when you leave this barbecue, you get fired up. Tell your neighbors, right? Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. People who maybe haven't registered before. Talk to them about the stakes that are up in this next election. And so thank you so much for being willing to come out here on a Saturday to hear some political candidates speak. But when you think about this next election, you think about where the future of our state is going. Think about my kids. Think about your grandkids. Think about all the kids that you are seeing. And let's go out and let's turn the state red, okay? Yeah. Thank you for your time. Yeah, yeah.
You don't need no introduction.
That's right.
All right, everybody, how we doing? What a beautiful Nevada day, huh? Well, I just want to introduce my family briefly. I've got my wife there sitting in the shade, Jamie. And she has my 2-year-old in her arms, Isabella, and my 5-year-old standing next to her. And then the very chunky 21-pound, 5-month-old baby on the table is Jack. Baby Jack. So, you know, this kind of event is incredibly important for what's about to happen this year. You know, a lot of you clearly are paying attention, and you guys are involved. But, you know, we kicked off a 28-stop tour just a few days ago in Southern Nevada. We plan on going across the entire state. And as I've been mentioning, we're doing incredibly well in our primary. We could have, you know, I got enough with 3 under 5 and a big AG job. We could have just sat home these 2 weeks and rested up for the general election. But it was incredibly important to me and my team that we are going to start really charging around the state. We want to really set the tone that we are going to fight for every square inch of this state. Places like this, how many times you had a statewide candidate come here in the last couple of years? I'm sure you've had a few, but you know, it's rare that in Nevada that you guys get a chance to meet statewide candidates, and it's rare for our campaign. We're the only statewide candidate that when we launched for governor, we went to all 17 counties in our kickoff tour. That was important to me, and this is an extension of that. This is us planting the flag in the ground that we are going to outwork our opponent. We are going to push around every single part of this state, make sure people understand the contrast of what we're facing. And some of that has been said already, but this race, the governor's race, is the race for the future of the state. Why is that? Because What we have out of the elected Democrats in this state is that they've been captured by their incredibly liberal base. They used to have a pretty moderate Democrat in Nevada. It's pro-business, pro-Second Amendment. You don't have that anymore. Now you have a Democratic Party in this state that more represents California. And every single day, I was just reading an article today, that Nevada California is kicking out hundreds of thousands of residents because no one can afford to live there anymore. And we all know that. Where are they going first? They're coming here. That article said Las Vegas. And so it's because of their policies, it's because of crazy left-wing ideas that place is becoming unaffordable. Their taxes are absolutely exorbitant. Their regulations never end. And it's all to fit an agenda that, in my opinion, does not match the agenda of this state. You know, my family's been here for over 100 years. We are many generations. This state has been amazing to our family, and it's been, I'm sure, amazing to a lot of you. And we just launched our first campaign ad a few days ago, and we call it Defending the Nevada Dream. You know, this is a place where people do have opportunity. They work hard. They can have the life that they want to live. But when you have government that continues to grow and raises taxes, raises regulations, when all these things happen, a lot of that liberty that we're so used to in this state starts to disappear. So just know that this is a seminal race. I think most of you know that probably already. It's probably why you're here. But what you don't know is what's going to happen in the next 5 months. So in the next 5 months, you're going to have progressive liberal groups from all across the country, and they're going to descend on this state, and they're going to spend millions of dollars trying to defeat me and trying to take Nevada. Anyone want to take a guess how much money's already been pledged against me by liberal groups for this race?
$100 million.
Oh my God, $100 million, don't say that. $12 million has already been pledged. And to give you an idea, the last competitive governor race in this state, 2010, was less than a $15 million race total. Okay? This race is going to be $50 million plus. And so you can do the math. At least half of that is going to be attack ads, and is going to be going after me, and is going to be trying to take Nevada. Why do they want Nevada? Well, some of them don't want me to be governor, sure. And some of them may want a hyper-liberal person that'll be running on the other side of me to be the governor. But really, it's about 2020. You know, they want Nevada, they want the presidential, and they want redistricting, which happens with the next governor. And if we have two Democrat houses and a Democrat governor, we are already, as Republicans, underrepresented by our districting across the state. That will get worse. We'll just start becoming a deep blue state. And when we're all sitting around looking at a presidential, say, 2024, Nevada's not even going to be in a swing state. That's their goal. That's what they hope to do. Are we going to let that happen?
No.
Are we ready to fight that?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you've seen that out of me. When I ran for attorney general, I'd never run for anything before. I like to say I never ran for class president, anything. Minding my own business, and I'd been serving in the Navy, served in Iraq. But in 2014, there was an open attorney general seat, and I looked across the country to see what was happening, what the federal government was doing to our state and to states all across the country. And I felt that I had a unique opportunity, if I ran for this office, to be able to slow that tide and to protect Nevada. You've got those of you that were here, and I assume some of you are new to Nevada just the last few years. That was a race where we were extreme underdog against the establishment machine candidate that everyone was already behind. We were able to fight and fight. We did that by going community to community all across the state to tell people that we planned on fighting for Nevada. And that's what we've done since I was elected in this race. We fought against the federal government, successfully battled the Sage-Grouse Plan. We fought against the Waters of the United States to make sure the federal government didn't take control of our water, our local water. We continue to fight for businesses to try to slow down unilateral regulations that came out of Washington. And all that is because of what? we all fundamentally believe we're in better position to make decisions for our state than Washington, our state and our local areas. And so incredibly proud of the work that our office is able to do on that front. Just want to highlight a few other things that we took on. And I hope you guys will remember this as we move into the general election, to be able to tell your neighbors and tell your friends as those attack ads start and as all those horrible things are said about me, you know, start remembering some of these great successes. I was elected, Nevada had a sexual assault kit backlog that went back to 1985. It's over 8,000 rape kits sitting on shelves that were untested. We took that on. We found the money to test the backlog. We also pushed to make testing mandatory in the state of Nevada going forward so we don't have that problem again. We also saw a spike in elder fraud, specifically guardianship abuse. So we created an elder fraud unit to be able to go after those things, having the first guardianship prosecutions in this state. After human trafficking, which we all know is a problem in this state, having the first human trafficking prosecution out of this office. I want to finish with one thing, and that is our veterans. As I said, I'm an Iraq veteran, so veterans are near and dear to my heart, as I trust they are to all of you. I created the first ever public-private partnership where we found lawyers all across Nevada that were willing to take the cases of our service members and their families for free. It's not a big taxpayer program. This is, they were willing to volunteer pro bono out of their goodwill, and we matched them with Fallon, you know, our Top Gun, Nellis down south, our state National Guard, and we've been traveling across the state trying to get services for our veterans. I'm proud to say, since that program started, we've helped over 3,000 service members, all free of charge. So these are the things we plan on running on. We plan on running on the fact that I'm a doer. I'm someone that made pledges. We met all those pledges. We are going to work hard for Nevada. We're going to work to get things done. And, you know, one other thing that you can make sure you echo and push back, we worked across the aisle. Every single program I just mentioned, I needed to get bipartisan support to get them approved. We did that. We made the case and got support. So these are the things that we expect to be battling on in the coming months ahead, and we certainly hope to make sure that Nevada understands they're going to have a stark choice. They're going to have someone like me versus someone that is going to support a very return Nevada into California. I'm not going to let that happen. I expect all of you all are going to help me in that mission. So I close with one thing. This is a get out the vote rally for one reason. We need everyone to start getting ready for that general election. There are competitive primaries in a lot of parts in this state. You may have what you're voting for in some race, and that's fine. That's what our party's all about. But in about 10 days, once we get the general election unified, we need to work hard, and we need to try to get more people engaged in this process. Those of you that have never knocked a door, made a phone call, this is your year. I'm asking you to do that for our campaign. Those of you that already do that, we need to do more of it. We need to recruit more people to help the race and the year for our state. I ask you to stand with me and some of the other candidates here as we fight for Nevada. Thank you. God bless.
I have a question, Adam.
I have an answer question.
Okay. You may not be aware, but you are in the middle of wild horse country. We have wild horse starters right over here in the office.
Well, Adam will be around. I know Senator Roberson, Wes, they're around. Mingle with them. It's my understanding that the senator has, Senator Heller, has not arrived yet, so hopefully we'll have him here momentarily and have him speak for a moment. I want to introduce a couple other people. Where's Jim Wheeler? Jim Wheeler is here, our assemblyman. No primary, thank God, but do remember Jim for the general, and we'll be coming back to you there. And where's Ron Connect? There's Ron Connect. Another person that has served us well as our controller, and again, thank God, no primary, but we have to remember Ron and the general. Talk with them as well. And I know Adam's on a tight schedule, but I just want to reemphasize from a Story County standpoint, ever since his election as Attorney General, Adam, after his election, he was our first speaker for Lincoln Day. He came up, dedicated his time to us. He's been at every Lincoln Day since then. The other thing with Adam is that he has always been in our camp, helped us with the issues. He talked about the broader issues protecting our rights. but Adam has always been there supporting Story County, supporting the Story County GOP, and that, for someone who is as busy as he is and has as many directions that he's going, I can't emphasize how that important that is for us. And as he said, this is one of my motivational issues. Living in other states around this country, you had a candidate for governor here on somebody's back deck where you get to meet him in your neighborhood. It's unheard of in other states. They would have an entourage of 200 security people keeping you at 500 yards unless you were an approved individual. Adam, Senator Roberson, Wes, Senator Assemblyman Duncan, Ron, they're all here. They're mingling with us because they care about what we think and they care about Story County, and we can't applaud them and thank them anymore.
Is that somebody else? Bob Beers.
Where's Bob? Bob Beers back there, candidate for state treasurer. Bob, thank you for coming. I didn't see you get in. Well, just a couple minutes. Bob Beers, candidate for state treasurer, former city councilman in Las Vegas, former senator
north
in the state.
North part of Las Vegas, please, the north part of
Bob
Las
Beers.
Hi. I've been a certified public accountant in Nevada for 30 years, which is why I'm running for treasurer. That, combined with the fact that our treasurer decided to not seek re-election. Treasurer checkbook is who counts up the money in it. Other duties is assigned. The five sessions in the legislature, all five sessions I was put on the finance committee, I'll be able to hit the ground running for you. Went through some difficult times down that hill. Sharon Mon was there. 2003 legislative session, Kenny's first hike in the first round of the grocery. I'd also like to shout out my beautiful bride, Sarah, back in the back. And I did enjoy the drive up 6 Mile Canyon. It's a short questions. Treasurers are pretty boring until it goes badly. Thank you very much for your time and attention today. I'll hang out and ask or answer any questions anyway. Thanks.
One last person to introduce, and then we'll take a little break and let people mingle, ask questions, and talk. Sharon Engel, candidate for Congressional District 2. Come on up, Sharon.
Thanks, Jim. I am Sharon Engel running. I have a little card here that explains why I'm running. I know many people have asked, well, will we lose the CD2 every time we reappoint? Have a safe congressional seat that will be Republican no matter who wins. Secondly, non-Republican Congressman Hamaday, Bob Beers noted the Fearless 15 from where we took our case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court to defend our Constitution against an unconstitutional grocery receipts tax. And I invested my own money to make sure that that happened. And the third reason that I'm running is because I think if we don't want the same old thing, if we're expecting a different, we need to harken back to the definition of insanity, which is do the same old thing, expect a different result. If we vote for the same old folks, we will get that same result. So we need to make a change for a difference. I would like to talk to each one of you about the things that are on this card that make the difference between Congressman Hamaday and myself. I think that we have an opportunity here. When you have an incumbent, there's a 15% advantage. Thank you. And that's because of the opportunities that an incumbent has to use federal money to promote his agenda under the auspices of constituent outreach. And so there's that piece. There's also the piece that is your name recognition. Well, I feel like since 2010, I have the name recognition to challenge incumbency. And that's why this time you have a choice. So I'm asking you to make that choice. Sharon Engel from Congressional District 2. I want your vote.
So we'll take a little break, grab something to eat, grab something to drink, mingle, ask questions, meet the candidates. And we'll reconvene in a little bit. Thank you, everybody.
You went from over this way. going to sing. Could do something real quick.
If I can get everybody's attention real quick, we've got a little bit of a time crunch, but there is one individual I want to give everybody an introduction to. Judge Leon Abastury, who is running for the Supreme Court Justice Seat C. And I think, and I think it's important because we did have a mix-up in our sample ballot where this race was left off. It is on the real ballot, but it's important that you all get to hear Leon's story. He's got a very compelling message. Leon Abastury.
Thank you very much.
Off the sample.
Judge Leon Abastury. I'm running for the Nevada Supreme Court Seat C. It's the one Supreme Court race that will be on the ballot. As unfortunately was left off your sample ballot, but it is there. I'm hoping you'll all take a good look at who's running for your Supreme Court. One of the problems I have was I'm going around to the different groups is people aren't paying attention to who's on board. You can elect all the great people, you know, like Adam Lanks, Roberson, Bob Beers, but the Supreme Court has the last say. So you really need to know who you're electing. Now, myself, I'm a rural county judge. I sit in Lyon County. And the one message that I'm bringing to the rural counties like Story is, unfortunately, the rest of the state doesn't realize we have 17 counties. And currently, we don't have any rural county representation on the Supreme Court. We haven't in probably 2-3 decades. And as a rural county judge, I understand the different issues that we face in the rural counties. I understand the importance of agriculture, I understand the importance of mining, and I understand the importance of water. And I think, you know, when you elect your judges down in, from Clark County, they don't understand those issues. Our priority down in Clark County means the water goes to them first. Where those of us in the up north, we understand what priority water means. So, as a rural county judge, we do everything. We do family law, civil law, criminal law, guardianships, adoptions, probate. I have the experience in every area of the law, and which is important because the Supreme Court reviews every area of the law. And in terms of my opposition, none of them have family law experience, which is important because most of you will not go out on a murder spree. You're not going to be involved in multi-million dollar litigation. But most of you will either be before a family court, maybe it's a guardianship as you get older, maybe it's a probate for someone you love, maybe it's your daughter fighting for custody of your grandchild. So we need experience in court to handle the family law issues. Now in the rural counties, we don't hear a lot of complaints about the family law, but I can tell you down in Las Vegas and even in Washoe County, a lot of complaints what's going on in the family courts. And that's another reason why we need someone with experience with family law. So I hope you'll take a look. And as was said earlier, if you're not voting for me, I'm hoping that you're voting for another conservative. And I hope that you just get out and vote, get your friends to vote, your relatives to vote, everybody to vote.
I have a really burning question. It's really quick. Will you be an originalist or an activist judge?
I tell people I'm not an activist judge. I'm not an originalist, but a textualist.
Text
of the Constitution, all right? Originalism implies some other things, but as a textualist, I look at the words, I find the meanings of the words, and I apply the words. And as a judge who's not going to be an activist, again, you have to elect good people, because the courts are not where you run to undo what the people in the light are doing. The courts are there, and they shouldn't have an agenda left or right. Marcy's Law, I think it's a good step. I used to be a prosecutor, and I think it's a good step in terms of getting victims' rights, getting the notices to victims, allowing them to know and participate in the process. There may be some costs involved, but I think when people understand what victims are getting out of it, okay with the costs. Yes, ma'am.
And your name again?
It's Abastury.
Leon.
All right. It's a, yeah. The good Basco name, my grandparents both... immigrated from Spain. Spanish side. Yeah. Unlike, you got Laxalt on the French side of the Pyrenees, the Abasturys were from the Spanish side of the Pyrenees. But again, thank you very much, and I really do appreciate the invite.
Thank you, Leon. Leon's got to go. Got another event going on, but we really thank you for making it up the hill. One person who asked for a little executive clemency, who would like to say hello, is our controller, Ron Connect.
Hey, Ron.
Y'all listen up now. Can you hear me? I want to tell you a couple important things. On June 12th and before, do not vote for Jim Wheeler. Okay? And on June 12th and before, do not vote for Ron Connect. Why? We're not on the ballot. We don't have a primary. So don't waste your vote. Vote for Adam Laxalt because why? Adam's going to help us defeat the commerce tax. God bless you, Adam.
Yes.
I'll tell you real quick things about me. One, as you all know, I was born in a log cabin I helped my father to build. And the legend has grown ever since then. I've got the best wife and daughter in the world right over here, Kathy and Karen. Three, we've done a great job with the executive management and leadership functions at the controller's office. And if you reelect us, we'll do it again. And four, most important, after June 12th, we're all coming together and we're going to win in November from top to bottom. Thank you all. God bless you. And let's go get them.
I didn't do it, so if you didn't see me, you can't prove a thing.
It's a bad bill. I'm against it.
Tell people what it's about.
It's about property taxes, and it will raise your property taxes. And if you don't already get the weekly Connect Smack column by email, give me an email address, and you will. And in the coming weeks, we will address that in detail, tell you what the problems are and why you want to vote against it. Even Wheeler's shaking his head here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Another introduction I'd like to make, and he probably wants to lie low, but we do have Marshall McBride. Marshall is our county commissioner and here in Story County, and we thank him for coming up here. You want to say something? No? Lie low. Marshall's very thankful that he's not in a race. Yeah. That's right. And he's thankfully not on the ballot this time. So again, we'll let people mingle, grab something to drink, grab something to eat, and talk with the candidates. And we have our entertainment coming up again. I gotta find out.